Bruce, I'm not going to role play six people all talking at once to you. You go to the meeting, and let's see. Hang on, where the hell is it? All right. Of the council members, Josh is there, Brother Ray is there, Vince McLean, who is a werewolf, and basically Josh's beta is there. And that's really it. The bitch just didn't show up. And Lucius LaCroix, who is... there is someone else who showed up. Ahmed Fakesh showed up unexpectedly. He usually doesn't come to these, but he came tonight. Lucius is a Draconis vampire who is married to an Ishtari vampire, which is kind of weird. They're the ones who run basically the rich people's eyes wide shut cult. The head of the square circle is there, Jefferson Kane, who is a fairly old sorcerer who looks like Ray Walston. If you know who Ray Walston is. Did I make a picture of these people? I should probably look at that at some point. All right. For pity's sakes. Okay. Yeah, I'll share some pictures with everyone. Bear with me. So we're in campaign for if you want to see these people for future reference.
Excellent.
Here is Josh Rookwood, inexplicably out during the day.
He's Jonah Hill?
Yes.
Jonah Path is not how I expected to not predict him to look like
I
that.
I thought he was always Jonah Hill. It's just he was a less slovenly Jonah Hill when you met him last time. Here's Jefferson Kane. He is the head sorcerer in town.
He looks like he'd be a sorcerer.
That's just supernaturalist.
I am one. I can say that.
Yeah, all right. That's our word. That's fair. That's well played.
Okay. And damn it, those are the only people I have names for or pictures for at this point. We'll say that who would be a good person to play a slightly redneck evangelical preacher?
There are so many options.
All right, just pick some right-wing Republican. That's who he looks like. And Vince is just a biker, so I'll get pictures of him later. All right. So they're there, and Ahmed is there. Middle Eastern, wearing a dark suit. All right, you give them your general report. And let's see. So Jefferson Kane asks, so what can you tell us about these Kaftar?
They are a type of werewolf. They have a bite that causes insanity. And the longer you're affected by the insanity, the more likely you are to be tempted over to be one of them.
Mm. And
basically like rabies.
Interesting. I forgot. Dr. Nick is also there. He's not on the council, but he's giving a report. And he supplements that by saying that apparently this Kaftar person, I don't know what else he could do, but he is a vector for a chaos disease called Sardonicus Fatalis. And he describes the effect. Basically, it starts off with things like weird mood swings, mania, uncontrollable giggling and laughter. It progresses to things like an inability to stop smiling and various delusions related to happiness. A desire to harm or kill people who display sadness in your presence, and ultimately psychopathy and homicidal mania. And Brother Ray looks at you, and you were subject to this horrible disease before the good doctor here used his witchcraft to cure you?
That is correct, sir.
And Nick rolls his eyes at the witchcraft accusation, even though he did, in fact, you know, make everybody get naked and wave a bone and light candles around you and shit. So tell us more about these dimensional intruders.
I don't know what to tell you other than they appear to be members of my family from an alternate universe where things played out differently. I don't know how they got here. I would be dead if they didn't show up, though. So would my brother. Beyond that, I don't know much, but literally they've apparently jumped dimensions a couple of times, according to them.
Fakesh, who is probably the most occult knowledgeable person in town, leans forward, and he is just fascinated by that. He also does expand a little bit on what you said. Kaftar are actually creatures from African mythology, and were believed to be a form of were-hyena. Those werewolves who believe in the ancient mythos of your kind say that originally they were a species of wolf that was cursed by your mythical sire with insanity for some betrayal. Is that not a good summary?
It is. It is a great summary. I know that werewolves can be converted into were-hyena with the bite, though. So
I shall consult my grimoires and my lore when I return to my haven, and if I can do so before the sun rises, I will send you what information I can find. Failing that, I'll send a ghost to tell you. You're not concerned about ghosts, are you?
No, my brother can talk to him.
Yes, I've heard about your brother. I look forward to meeting him at some point, and perhaps meeting all of your newfound family members. If they are indeed visitors from another world, Regent Rookwood, surely it would be best that we all have a chance to interview them and find out what they know. It cannot be a coincidence that they arrived at the same time as this Kaftar. And Josh looks annoyed at that,
yeah.
And but says, I suppose that's a good point. What time does the sun go down tonight? March. Bring all of them here tonight, around 7, we'll say 8 o'clock, and we'll interview them. In the meantime, the one that looks like Frank Jones, try to keep him out of public view. And the one who looks like Charlie is, how much like Charlie is he?
Appearance? A lot. Attitude? Polar opposite.
And he's a werewolf. And I'm guessing he's not a redcoat.
I haven't broached the topic. I don't know.
Well, see if you can broach it this later today sometime before we meet up. Find out
one
what
of them's missing a hand.
Sounds like a personal problem to me.
I was wondering if there was anything we could do to help him. It seems to be recent.
Doctor? And Nick actually has to stifle a yawn because you're pretty sure he hasn't slept in 48 hours. And he did a major ritual. All right. Bring him by the hospital this afternoon, and I'll look at him and see if there's a procedure I can do to, you know, regrow a hand. I mean, he's a werewolf, so, and I'm me, so I'm sure I can figure something out.
Appreciate that, Doc.
How's your brother doing?
Not good. A lot of nightmares. I was afraid I was going to be late to the council meeting, but...
Does he need anything like tranquilizers or anything for depression?
I don't know yet, but I'll let you know if it gets to that point.
Brother Ray says, please tell him that he will be in our prayers, as will you, son.
Thank you, brother. And I try not to shudder.
All right, all right, just keep an eye on him during the day. At least one of them. The one who looks like Frank Jones is a vampire, so maybe he'll need to rest or at least stay indoors during the day.
He says he can go out. He says the sun doesn't hurt him.
So he's fairly young, vampirically speaking?
Off of my knowledge, I assume so.
He is unusually blessed. I look forward to meeting all of them. Although, Brother Ray looks conflicted for a minute. I hesitate to mention this because, frankly, I deplore the individuals involved. If he is going to be here for any length of time, Regent, and he looks identical to a somewhat infamous murderer, perhaps you should prevail upon Mr. Delacroix to change his appearance, at least for a while. And Josh kind of grimaces at that. And you know, Lucien Delacroix is He's not a part of the Camarilla. There's a somewhat obscure, by obscure, I mean they're not active in Knoxville, but there's a group called Invictus, and they are less about preserving the masquerade and more about just being powerful and living the good life. And Lucien Delacroix and his wife are members of it, and he in particular is a Draconis vampire, and they have flesh crafting abilities, which the idea of that freaks you the fuck out. But yeah, you don't deal much with Lucien or Domino. Brother Ray just tosses that out there, and Josh is noncommittal about it. Okay, is there anything else we need to know right now? Oh wait, was there something about spiders?
Yes, the dead killed by the werehyenas seem to sprout forth giant demon spiders.
And Fakesh speaks up. What became of your father's body?
It was killed by the other.
Forgive me. I meant post mortem. Was he burned or otherwise disposed of?
I don't remember. I'm sorry. We were in such a hurry to get out of there. I don't know if anybody did anything.
Regent, I would recommend that you send some of your agents capable of functioning during the day to that area. If you feel up to it, Mr. Connor, perhaps you should accompany them and show them where it is. But not knowing anything more about Charles Connor's tragic death, I feel his body should be examined. And Josh looks at you like he does not want to ask you to do that, but he will.
I look up and
volunteer.
I look up and say, yes, counsel, I understand. I'm okay, Josh.
Good man. All right. Sunrise is in 30 minutes, I think, for those of you who care about such things. See you tonight. I probably will not be able to be woken up. If it's end of the world stuff, call Vince and he'll come into my haven and bang a gong or some shit. And the meeting is adjourned. He actually does tell you to go home and get some rest, and he will send Vince and some of the other boys to meet with you so that you can show them where everything went down, and they can like maybe take some pictures or do something. And that's that. And you get back to the house about 30 minutes after sunrise. And assume everyone is still just, you know, watching the sun come up while you drink beer and talk about your problems, right?
Ben and Olivia are going over the grimoire and bonding.
Okay.
I mean, that's like a Connor family tradition.
Like going over grimoires?
No. Drinking beer when the sun comes up and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you and your son and Frank are... Mm-hmm. Now, Frank, are you actually out there watching the sun come up? Or do you at least go inside?
We lose Luke?
I don't know. Luke?
He's muted.
Sorry, I had my headphones off. Are we back from the meeting? And
yep. Yes. Everyone else is, well, Charlie and Oliver are basically sitting out on the back deck drinking and watching the sun come up. Do you stay outside or you just go inside once the sun starts?
No, I'll go in.
Okay.
No point in
Olivia and Trey, I mean Ben, are in the kitchen studying an occultish looking book, and you get close enough to see it, you know parts of it are in Italian, so you think you know where that came from.
The mob.
And about 30 minutes later, the door opens up and Jake comes back in.
Jake, how'd it go?
We're all still alive for now.
I'm sorry, was
that well?
Was that a question at some point?
I mean, since y'all showed up, it's definitely a bigger question on my mind than I had ever processed before. But yeah, how's Ben?
He's shown me all of Nona's grimoire, which has been really fun. I'm learning a lot, I feel like, considering this is all still new to me as well, pretty much.
All right. The council wants to meet all of you. They want me and some of the pack to go back up to the Anawaya territory and look for Dad's body.
I'm pretty good at tracking. You know, I could maybe see if there's a direction that maybe the Kaftar went to give us a general search area.
Sure. They'll be by a little bit later. Everyone's going to try to rest up. Where's Uncle Frank? I mean, Frank, damn it. Sorry.
You know, all of this seems like a bad idea.
By the way, off topic, but Bruce, on the thing I sent you where it says vampires by clan, if you could just delete everything after that, because that was where I forgot to delete the freaking spoilers.
No problem. Delete spoilers. Check.
Copy and paste spoilers into DMs. Check.
Check.
by the way, while we're here, I would like to spend an essence to instantly gain area knowledge about the city I'm in.
Okay. You can do that easily. What do you want to know?
I'll come up with some questions. I hadn't thought that far ahead. I thought there was just like a list of things that gave you like population, like size, like layout, like...
Yeah, it'll give you that. In fact, I can actually send you something which is like the first page of what I just sent Bruce.
Fantastic.
But the population is just over 750,000. It's the largest city in Tennessee and the 18th largest in the U.S. And yeah, give me a second and I'll send you this.
Okay.
Has anyone seen Frank, though?
He's inside.
He's inside.
Okay.
I have the sun.
Yeah. I'm going to head inside and go see Frank.
Okay. Frank, where inside are you?
So far inside, he can't hear you.
Luke! Use the force.
I'm not muted.
No.
Okay.
There you are.
Yeah.
I wasn't muted. I don't understand.
That's weird. All right, that's cool. All right, well, they just were looking for where you were in the house.
I'm in whatever interior room has the fewest windows, and I'm still wearing my smoked glasses, probably. Hey, how was your meeting?
Meeting went well. It was suggested that there's a vampire that, named Lucius here in town that does something called fleshcraft. And maybe you might be interested in the fact that he can change your appearance so that you can move around a little more freely.
Yeah, I don't.
If that's something you're interested in.
I like the sound of that. I'll just get a fake beard or something.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I just thought I'd mention it to you. Tonight, the council would like to meet you all, though.
Yeah, I figured they would.
Well, I guess we'll have to go.
Somebody call Ann Rice. You're all about to have an interview with a vampire.
Oh, fantastic.
Just a heads up, Charlie doesn't do well with authority figures.
Strange, because in this world, he is an authority figure. That's so weird.
And he hates himself for it.
Technically, he's one of ours as well.
We knew him too.
Really?
Yeah, he was FBI. I don't know. Conspiracy theories, and I don't know. Don't know.
He had that blog.
Yeah.
It's a blog.
What is a computer device? I don't understand. But if anybody, I probably don't need to go like to the mall and shop for clothes. So if anybody goes out shopping, let me give them a size and pick me up a couple of things.
I mean, I've got cash. Dad's probably got some cash. So yeah, we can definitely get you guys some clothes.
Alan, I will reach into my pocket and take out a gold half dollar and flip it to him.
Okay.
It's probably from about 1870 something. It might be worth something these days.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I've actually been inventorying the stuff that I have, and there's some real collector's pieces here.
Sadly, like they all look brand new.
Ooh, shopping episode. We all go get clothes. All
right. Well, I'm not going to do a shopping spree scene.
not even a mall montage?
Where we all like sit outside the dressing room and shake our heads yes or no to each outfit?
Yeah, while girls just want to have fun plays in the background.
Turned all into right. Clueless.
Well, I was thinking more of Let's Go to the Mall by Robin Sparkles.
Let's go to the mall
today.
Okay, just to clarify a few things. So, are Ben and Drake going to the mall? Who is and is not going to the mall? I guess that is my question.
I guess I need to go.
We need clothes. And I'm not trusting anybody in my family to get clothes.
You want to go to the mall with your stump hand?
I'll have it, like, I'll make a makeshift, like, sling or something like that.
Maybe
they've
got a catcher's mitt here that you could put on. And
what's your name again?
Oliver.
Oliver. Yeah, Dr. Nick says he thinks he can help you regrow it. We got to go see him this afternoon.
Well, it's probably going to be some...
Charlie is definitely going.
Is it going to be like some sell my soul to the devil type of thing? Or I have to be bonded to somebody? Because
you'll definitely have to be naked.
Naked with him last time, so...
Why is that a thing?
You won't have to be naked with him, but it'd be fine.
Out of character, if you do a purification ritual, it can give you bonus dice for a subsequent ritual performed. It's for, like, you know, clearing out all the evil impulses, evil energy in a space and stuff like that. He was doing that because he was freaking out over this chaos disease that Drake had and wanted to make sure he had every advantage in trying to cure it. And since he got seven successes, it was worth it. I was really expecting to drag out you with that giggling maniac disease for longer than one session.
Sorry.
Oh, you're forgiven. All right.
For now.
Okay. So, fast forward half an hour or around lunchtime. Everyone comes in who went to the mall with new clothes in Tiffany's bags.
What are some of the stores that we went to, Alan?
all the stores, Anthony.
I only get my clothing from Sharper Image.
It's a new Navy.
American Beagle.
Avocado Republic.
The South Butt.
Robux, because Sears got dropped off the name years ago.
And we'll stop and get a snack at Apple Julius.
Sorry, Alan.
I'm done. Well, Frank will get into his new clothes, but I am going to carefully fold up my old stuff and keep it in a bag or something. Because you never know. I mean, it really made dungarees back then. And that duster, that's a good duster.
I just probably just blue jeans and a probably. So what month is it? March, you said?
March.
Yeah.
It's like it's probably still a little cool. So probably do like some type of flannel, whatever, long enough that I could potentially cover up my stub.
Every time we talk about your stump, I start thinking about the Shia LaBeouf song. Nothing? Nobody?
No.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf?
Ben's going to try to sleep.
The next item of business is Anthony's stump hand. So do you want... Does anyone else want to do anything other than that? And does anyone want to go with Anthony to talk to someone about his stump hand?
I would go with him to make sure, you know, he's not going with just these strangers. But I do want to go whenever, as long as it's not messing up crossing paths with when they go search for where the bodies were and shit like that.
Yeah, we'll split up then. All right, so who is going to find Spider Charlie's body?
I want to go there.
Okay, and Jake is going. Anybody else?
Ben is decidedly not going.
I'm going to stay in the house and protect Ben, because I still have a feeling that, you know, things may track us, so...
Okay. Anthony will be going to see. Well, that this raises another issue, because if Jake is going up back to the mountains, how is Oliver going to meet up with Dr. Nick?
Ben could definitely do that. He could arrange that.
Yeah, and he is your mentor, and he is quite concerned about your mental health.
As he should be.
All right, so Ben and Oliver are going back to the hospital. Is anyone else going there? Okay, so Charlie and Frank, you're home alone with all the beer.
No.
That I can't drink.
Wait, there's no one else here?
Well, me and Jake went to find dead spider Charlie, and then Ben and Aunt Oliver went to the hospital, so it's just you and Frank.
Okay,
how are they going to get to, are they going to be able to get up there, look around, and get back to town in time to meet with the council? Because it's like 3 hours each way, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll bump the meeting back till, say, midnight. That's a good time for, you know, creatures of the night to meet.
Should go really wrong.
I am going to take, since no one's here besides me and Frank, I'm going to take the time to give this place a complete once-over, looking for anything suspicious. Weapons, okay. Magic, like, not just Charlie's room, the whole house.
Okay.
So, well, then Alan, let me...
Violating my privacy?
Ben isn't going to be in the house by himself, and Olivia and Jake are going to look for the body?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to go with them, because I think they might...
Okay.
Yeah, they might need... I don't know. I'm going to take guns.
That would be wise. All right.
All right, Charlie, don't do anything crazy.
Are we really leaving Charlie unsupervised?
I'm an adult.
The house is going to fucking burn down.
Charlie, make a wits plus investigation roll.
Fantastic. I will use a willpower. 4 successes.
All right. You don't find a whole lot that's just weird to you. Are you checking out Ben's room?
Oh, the whole house, top to bottom.
Okay. In Ben's room, you find tucked into a drawer, porn, but also various tools for divination. Okay. All right. Ben is studying divination, isn't he, or is he?
Yeah. Ben's studying divination.
Yeah, what is your preferred tool for that?
The tarot deck.
Yeah. So you actually find several tarot decks in a drawer, along with several books about how to interpret tarot cards. Gotta ask, Ben, do you keep a diary or anything like that?
I probably have notes. Not necessarily like a diary, but definitely like, you know, recording of my studies and everything.
Okay. Is there anything you would have left out that Charlie, in a breach of your privacy, could have found?
You say it.
I'll give you a beat if there is.
Yeah, I mean, there's. I'm trying to think. Like, I don't even know what there would be that would be like a huge breach of. I mean, obviously, just Charlie being in the room.
While you're thinking, Jake, same question. I'll give you a beat if you go with something for him to find while searching your room. That is interesting enough.
I mean, he's already found the porn. Has he found the weird porn yet?
That's great. That's my boy.
He's ex-FBI, so he knows how to search a place. So, yeah, if you want to describe your weird porn.
yeah. It's definitely furry stuff, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Ew.
There's a lot of vore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a lot
maybe
of vore.
My Little Pony clop clop.
Yeah.
Jake, does he find anything that you would not want him to find? Is everyone going to post a fucking furry gif now?
Yes. I mean, if he finds like my diary, yeah, he'll find embarrassing notes about how my character's still a virgin and really is sad about that.
So mundane. Gotta teach these kids.
Okay.
He might find all of my notes on Toten Wolf as well.
Yeah, there is like Jake does have basically a surprisingly large collection of occult books and journals. Particularly about it, mainly about his knowledge of the vampires and the werewolves of the Knoxville area, and also vampire lore.
A lot of locations of known Nazis and Nazi sympathizers for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is also stuff in there about your grandparents, the Metzgers. Although, Charlie, you notice that you don't see any indication that he ever found the farm out in, what was it, South Carolina?
Yep. Yep. All right, then.
So you know something he doesn't know.
Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Now that I had time to think about it, Ben definitely does have like a burn book for his father.
Interesting. Describe that.
So it's essentially like just kind of a what was it? Every middle-aged woman goes through a phase where they do scrapbooking. This one's just like a slightly crazier version of that, with pictures of Ben with Frank and his mom, and then like pictures of Frank like during the court proceedings, and pictures of Frank as he was being processed, and everything like that, and just sheer lists of the kinds of violence that Ben would like to perpetrate against this man.
Oh, now Charlie's sad. Now I feel bad.
No, you don't, liar. That's the only thing of any interest you find other than that. If you check out the guest house, you do find that one of the bedrooms in the guest house has been basically converted into a werewolf-proof safe room.
Makes sense. Any unusual weapons, like anything to kill a vampire, kill a werewolf?
Yeah, there's whatever guns you would have kept in your house, assume that other Charlie also did.
Fantastic.
Jake, would there have been silver bullets in the house?
Yeah.
Did you find the silver bullets?
Fantastic.
Probably some holy water as well, because, yeah.
Have we? Do we know that holy water does things to vampires?
It depends on how holy the person who blessed the water is.
Gotcha.
Oh, and Charlie, high or low?
Hi. Oh, no.
Yeah, you don't find anything else other than that.
Okay.
All right, so while you are, you know, being that asshole... Frank, what are you doing? Are you there while... No, you went with... All right. With the people going out into the woods. All right. So, Ben, you drive Anthony back to the hospital. Nick texts you. He is finally off today after 3 days in a row working at the emergency room. You know this... the past couple of months have been absolutely exhausting for him. But he tells you to meet him at the sanctum, the lodge's sanctum. And Anthony, Ben drives you. There's a place in your Knoxville called the Market Square, which is basically like the square in Oxford, except a little bit bigger. In this Knoxville, it is significantly bigger and is surrounded by high-rise buildings, but it's still fundamentally, you know, a historic square that is used kind of as a tourist attraction. Just off the square is an actual magic club, where they do nightly magic shows, but there's also a bar. He takes you around and has an employee parking pass and takes you around the side of the building and up some back stairs to a second story over the magic club. And you get to inside Nick is there talking to let's see, who would be the most interesting person to talk to?
Are that many interesting people? Hello?
Jefferson Kane is there. Kane comes over to you, Ben, and puts his hand on your shoulder and says, naturally, you can take as much time off from work as you need to, because you are normally a busboy at his bar / restaurant. Do you need anything? Well, that I can provide anyway.
I would say for things to go back to normal, but that's never going to happen. So we're just going to roll with it.
You must be one of the new visitors in town, coming from quite far away, I think.
Something like that.
He studies you very intently, but can't really tell anything about you. Although he does notice that, you know, you have a fresh, clean rag tied around your hand. Nick comes over and says, all right, come over here. Let's take a look at this. And he takes you over. There's actually a bar in there, and he tells you to sit on one of the stools and put your hand on the bar. And he rather carefully takes the stump rag away. And let me pull out his hair to see.
Oh, joy.
Are you all dead?
I feel like I might be close.
Close to what?
I did. It's your fault.
Let's see. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You had a really good roll for this, at least.
Well, that's good, I guess. What am I about to roll?
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
That's my damage.
Now, he spends some time waving his hands in a pattern over your stump in this sort of weird circular occult thing while he mutters some guttural chant underneath his breath and closes his eyes, and then your stump lights up. Says, okay, tell me exactly how you lost your hand.
Well, we were investigating a Catholic church in El Diablo? Or was it...
El Diablo.
Okay, El Diablo and Arizona. And in the process of the investigation, there was an altar that I went to go investigate. And when I was investigating said altar, something kind of poked me, stabbed my hand, and which... It led to some underground basement area where a parent vampire was doing some type of blood rituals. And in the process of going down there, I started to hear voices in my head that were coming from my hand and this black ick that was crawling up my arm. And I heard my sister talk about something similar and where... previous universe that she was in, or previous place that she was in, it caused her to have to talk to some mage, and where we were at the time, there was not a mage readily available to help, and so I just had the bright idea just to cut it off at the source.
Okay, and that is get real big at several points in that story. It says, and actually, Jefferson comes over, and he is also intrigued by the story. So you encountered some vampire doing dark rituals in the ruins of El Diablo. I didn't know there was any of that place still standing.
There is a little bit to look at. Reason why we went to go investigate the sub basement area. Because of, because everything else is burned down.
Okay. Roll your manipulation plus subterfuge since you're lying, or at least lying by omission.
You said manipulation subterfuge?
Yeah.
This is going to be a great roll. One success.
Okay, so first I'll roll for Nick. And what's his empathy? What do you think? Perfect. He got a success, but defended win. And... let's see, Jeff rolls 1, 2, 3. I'm not even going to roll for him. All right. He accepts that story at face value because he surprisingly has no empathy at all. Yeah, but that's not ominous. All right. now, was this the El Dorado, El Diablo of another world?
No.
Or you went to the El Dorado of this world. But I thought you just came to this world last night.
That...
It's complicated.
It is very complicated. It's not... We didn't come from a different world last time. We're in the same one. It's... Was this El Diablo?
Very weird. All right. And above my pay grade. And you say you've met mages.
I'm trying to remember if... Yes, Oliver has met a mage. Yes, I have met a mage. He was closer to a sorcerer, I guess you could call it.
Don't we, like, meet a mage at the Jake center of time? Jake was definitely a mage.
Who was the mage you met?
In character, out of character?
Out of character.
Out of character. It was in Luke's game. It was the guy who was Mr. Gray, but...
Okay, so it was a mage in a fantasy high magic setting.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That is not as, you know, weird as meeting a mage in this world because they're kind of scary.
Do we think the lady we met at like the being we met at like the center of time or whatever, that weird library thing? Does anyone else remember that?
I don't understand your question.
Wasn't there like a, maybe in Luke's game, like a nexus?
Yeah, I think Luke did something about that. All right. Enough of that. So that's how you lost your hand, and that would explain things because the wound is still very much tainted with very weird magic. I think I can cure it and help you grow your hand back. I would like to spend the afternoon doing a little bit of research and make sure I don't, you know, make things horribly worse.
It would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, just you guys can chill out here. I'm going to go check the library and let you know when I find something. Or you can go on. I've got Ben's number. I can reach him at any time.
Thank you. And he didn't. He just looked at it, didn't he?
Yeah. All he did was at this point, just a ritual to see what was wrong with it, why it wasn't growing back.
Okay.
And he identified that it is in fact a magical injury, and that's why it isn't healing normally. Jefferson sort of gives. Nick a little bit of a stink eye and says, you haven't actually discussed costs yet, have you, Nick? And Nick glares back at him and says, we'll work something out.
I kind of raise my eyebrows at cost.
Well, it's magic. All magic has a cost. Because if you give things away for free, it tends to make them go weird.
Fair.
And Nick rolls his eyes.
Naked with him.
But what?
All right.
I don't know much about magic, but if it gets my hand back, I guess I'll do whatever I need to.
Excellent. What was your favorite hand?
Excellent, says Jefferson. I'm sure I can work out some perfectly reasonable exchange. And he smiles at you. And
terrifying.
It's not a sinister smile, but it's a, yeah, this guy could be an asshole smile. All right. So after 3 hours... Frank and Olivia and Jake have made their way up into the Rocky Mountain, into the Smoky Mountains again, and made your way to the general area where the horrible incident occurred. And anyone who is searching for the body needs to roll wits plus survival.
Which of the members of the pack came with?
You would ask me that. Let's see.
Why can I not find? There it is.
We'll say all in bed. Vince, Mickey, and Brandy. All the actual werewolves.
Do I get because I have a specialty. I always forget what specialties do.
They give you plus one die if they apply.
Alan, I would have put my older clothes back on since it won't matter if they get too dirty or anything, and I'll bag the new stuff. Okay. And how do the werewolves react to me?
Three.
Oh, yeah, that is an interesting question with it. All right, let's see. Give me a second here. Are you worried that they will have some hostility towards you?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, on the ride up, I'll tell you, like, we all work for a vampire. Like, we're part of a group called the Redcoats.
Okay. You should know, and you may be able to smell it. I don't know, but I'm loaded down with silver ammunition.
That's cool. I mean, you're okay. A decent shot, right?
Well, I mean, haven't killed anybody by accident in over 100 years.
You just time travel from 100 years ago?
So, are we almost there?
Yeah. They are surprisingly respectful towards you.
Well, that's entirely appropriate. I'll be laconic and you know, give them the flick of the Stetson. But I should point out, you know, during the daytime I'm not nearly as capable as I am at night. So I'll help when I can, but I can't do everything.
Yeah. Well, they know how that goes. So once you get there, as I said, everyone roll wits plus survival.
I got 3.
One success.
Olivia, also, you go ahead with that first. You go ahead with that first, and then I'll ask my question.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that you, without too much difficulty, can lead them to the general area where you think Charlie killed Charlie. And there are still, like, blood spatters here and there and some free limbs that got knocked down. And you are, after a few minutes, you're able to find the remains of, you know, local Charlie. And by the remains, I mean the clothes that he was wearing are laying on the ground, cut open, bloody, but laid out as if his body had just disappeared from inside it.
Ooh, creepy. Don't like that.
So no tracks leading away from it. He didn't just take off his clothes and walk away.
You don't think so. Right. You're going to examine the clothes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Examine them and start moving the shirt aside. I hate to do this to you, Brooke. When you pick up the shirt, spider falls out of the sleeve and starts to crawl away.
Stop. immediate reaction.
Okay.
My bad, guys.
What kind is it?
And so as you look at the body, that's the only spider you see. But if you open up the shirt, there's this sort of residue of webbing on the inside of his clothes.
Oh, that's this is a true horror game you're running right now for me, Alan. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
Oh, joy. Ew, that's concerning.
Dad.
Sorry, Jake. I did not mean to stomp what may have been, I guess, what's kind of left of Charlie.
Where is he?
It's squished. My bad.
Well, you'd have no reason to think that one lone spider was all that was left of him.
Yeah.
But other than what I've described, there's no sign of Charlie's body.
Can we, from here, can we find our way back to the Sept clearing or whatever?
Yeah. Easily.
I know where that is. That's up the hill from here.
Alan, yeah. I don't know that I can do my elemental stuff right yet. I got up there and I would have known I could do that.
You were learning it. I don't know if you ever tried it yet.
Might give it a go when we get to the area, because I think, if I remember it correctly, I can ask them what kind of went down in an area, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. You all never right. told me anything.
Yeah, you make your way up to the clearing where the Anawaya had their ceremonial meetings. How many bodies did I say were here last time? That was 5?
All of them.
Yeah, the entire clan minus the traitor.
Yeah, as I can remember how many there was.
7 bodies, not counting Scott, is what I've got in my notes.
Okay. You find in the clearing, the body of George Bright, which was there before, the one which had his stomach, like something exploded out of it. The other six bodies had previously all been wrapped up in webs. And you see six piles of dried webbing that look like they have been sort of torn open, or perhaps open themselves, like one of those funky little plants from Alien.
Gonna look up in the trees.
Hate all that.
I get Vince's attention.
Anything up in the trees?
No. Well, okay. I mean, you see, there are an unusual number of like spider webs up in the trees for this time of year, but no, nothing is lurking up there to attack you.
Okay.
What do I need to roll to try my elementalism shebang? One sec, be right back.
Going to be spend one essence and roll presence plus expression plus your elementalism rating. Or is she gone?
She said she'd be right back.
I didn't hear that.
Ran to the bathroom. Okay. Presence plus expression plus elemental rating. 3.
You didn't wash your hands.
Nope, I did not in my own house.
Oh, gross. Never shaking your hand.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. I got 3 successes.
4 successes.
Right. Oh.
That's okay, that's an earlier roll.
Okay. All right. So, what are you focusing your power on? Basically, you are picking a plant of some kind, and focusing your magic on it to waken it to the point where you and only you can hear it when it speaks. So, yeah, tell me what you're targeting. And
probably a tree that seems to kind of be like in the center, or like good view of the clearing of everything.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, you can do that. So talk to the tree because it's expression based. So
great. Which is funny because this has probably never worked for Olivia, and so when it actually works, she's gonna be like, "Oh shit, okay, cool." Olivia, be like, "I don't know how to talk to a tree. What kind of tree is it? What kind of tree am I working with?"
I don't know, what kind of trees do they have at the Smoky Mountains? Trees in the Smoky Mountains. Spruce fir, northern hardwood, hemlock, and pine or oak.
Ooh, I'm going to do a hemlock just because that sounds fun. God damn it, Anthony, you motherfucker. Anyway, I'm going to move right on from that one. Fucking asshole. Anyway, gonna go up to the tree, you know, lay a gentle hand on it. Be like, "Hey, bud, it looks like you've had some things string up some webbing in your limbs. That doesn't normally happen this year. Do you mind telling me what happened there?" She's like, "How do you talk to a tree? I read in the book. This is what you're supposed to do."
I just stare slack-jawed at her.
Guy. Wow. It's her first time trying. She doesn't know how it works. Try.
Well, the webs came from the spider people who were crawling around, but it doesn't hurt.
I'm very glad to hear that. Do you know where the spider people came from? Did you see?
Yes, they were all those of the tribe who were killed. And spiders ate them and ate their souls. And then they came back.
Ate their souls? That must have been hard to watch. The Anawaya tribe, from what I know, is very respectful of nature. And did you see what killed them, if you mind me asking?
It wasn't something from around here. Strange creature, like part dog and part cat, laughed a lot.
Did you see how many there were? I'd hate for them to hurt more other things that love and take care of the forest, because not a lot of people do.
I should hold your question part before the brown-nosing part.
How many hyenas there were?
green nosing.
I think the strange cat dog thing hurt the alpha, killed him, and then spiders came out of his stomach and attacked the rest.
I'm sorry, did he say how many there were, or just that the alpha was killed?
Yeah, that's what he said. They brought the alpha into the clearing. He was already wounded, and they tried to perform some type of cleansing ritual on him to help him have his regeneration. But before they could, he went all, you know, aliens on them.
Got it. So the hyenas didn't come here.
What's a hyena?
Hate my Discord.
So what is a hyena?
It is the laughing thing that kind of looks like a dog.
Oh, is that what it's called? Very strange.
Very strange indeed to me too, Mr. Hemlock Tree.
I did not see what struck down George Bright. May have been a werewolf.
May have been a werewolf? Not the laughing thing?
Well, wherever George Bright was attacked, it was not in the clearing.
Okay.
And he was brought into the clearing, but that's when, you know, spiders, blah.
Okay, so the hyenas weren't here, is what I'm getting.
Well, one of the youngest cub was out of the circle, and spiders couldn't get him, but he watched, and he got strange.
He got strange? Did he start laughing?
Laughing. Then he went and dug his hands into George's guts and started painting his face with a smile. Can I go back to sleep now?
You can. Thank you so much for all of your help. I hope lots of rain comes for you soon, but not too much rain.
You are very polite for someone who dies so young.
Oh, what? Okay. Caught on. That caught on for a second. Trees have a longer lifespan than humans. Got it. Panicked for a sec, and then Olivia's like, wait a minute, tree lifespan's different. Got it.
It's like, wait, that was really ominous.
That got really ominous for a second, though. I think Olivia will pull away and be like, ah, okay. Turn around, everyone's staring at her. It's a very nice tree, guys.
None of you heard the tree talk, by the way. You heard everything she said to the tree, but none of you heard the tree talk.
It's a very polite tree.
A couple of the werewolves lean over to Jake and say, so is she crazy or high?
Yes.
Olivia will reiterate what I learned from the tree.
So you turn from the tree back towards the dumbfounded werewolves and your equally confused Uncle Frank. And what do you tell them?
The hyenas weren't here per se. It seems the alpha was infected elsewhere and brought here to try and cleanse him from it. But it was already too late, and the spider demon kind of came out of him and started attacking everyone else. And one guy, I'm guessing it's that traitor guy you said, Jake, he stayed out of the circle and then was clearly already infected, probably at the same time as the alpha. And he, I think it's a little too late to do the purification ritual on him like we did on Jake. He went a little war man with the alpha's blood. It was seems to have been pretty brutal.
Yeah, he's also missing an eye.
So yeah. We've got him running around, and we've got however many spiders running around.
There's another Kaftar, though. He's he has a Hispanic accent, tan skin. He seemed to know Charlie, my dad. Said that my dad looked like his grandpa. Yeah, he was the one that actually killed my dad. And then fled just before you guys showed up.
Well, that didn't happen in this area, and that's the most I can tell you on that. That guy was never here, so I don't know where the attack happened. That may be elsewhere.
How long do werefolk live?
If they are not killed...
I was asking Jake, like, in character.
Yeah, I'm telling him, because he may not know. Oh, I got you. Out of character. They are not, you know, ageless like vampires are, but they do, in fact, age very slowly. And if they spend, if they regularly spend time in their animal form, very slowly indeed. So, yeah, it's possible that someone from El Diablo has lived for 140 years.
Oh, this is just all kinds of bad.
Does he call him grandfather? Because Oliver would be there like, father wolf? Is that how werewolves work? I still don't understand it.
It was that all moment. Right,
well,
yeah.
Did either any of y'all do the nasty and the pasty?
I didn't. I did not monitor my brother.
Nasty and the pasty.
I did the nastification.
Jake, did Jake have a chance to do any research on werewolf lore pertaining to spiders?
I mean, I would have done my best with what limited resources I had. I haven't didn't get a chance to go by and see the librarian.
Okay. Then we will pick up on that next time. Okay. All right. But yeah, you now have reason to believe that there are two Kaftar and maybe six spider demons walking around in werewolf body husks.
Terrific.
And
good news.
Not like we're keeping count or anything.
And the Kaftar, the lead Kaftar, according to what you're picking up from Olivia and Frank, may well be date back to the 1880s, 1890s when he was bitten. And you know that a werewolf who has been continuously active for 100 years is pretty badass.
Terrifying, yeah, is what that is. Are we going to get a scene where, like, this werewolf runs into Anthony and goes, "You were my father"? No! Oops.
He doesn't have six fingers on his hand because he doesn't have a hand.
Thanking you for listening to another episode of Southern Gothic Gaming. Welcome back to the Adventures of the Connor Fan. The first arc of the aberrant storyline has drawn to a close, and we return to a world of werewolves, vampires, and vast horrors beyond comprehension. If you want to follow along live, you can do so by becoming a member of our Patreon. On Patreon, you will get early access, character breakdowns, and more. You can even join in our Discord group to interact with us and potentially join in one-off specials. Please rate or review wherever you listen to podcasts, and, as always, episodes are released every Friday night. Your players for this session have been Alan as the storyteller, Anthony as Oliver, Beau as Ben, Brooke as Olivia, Bruce as Jake, Luke as Frank, and Stick as Charlie. The intro and outro is Wayfaring Stranger by Brian Mitchell. Thank you again, and we hope you listen in for our next session.
Did either any of y'all do the nasty and the pasty?